For the Dallas Morning News, I am arts and feature writer Michael Granberry, and this is a special audio report. From overcoming serious childhood health problems to winning multiple Pulitzer Prizes, Burl Osborne's life defied the odds. A new biography written by Jane Wolfe chronicles the improbable life of the late Osborne, who played a pivotal role in the history of the Dallas Morning News. Today, I'm talking with Wolfe about what she learned about the man who helped shape the Texas newspaper business. Jane, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Michael.
Let me start by asking about a woman who played a tremendous role in the life of Burl Osborne, as you have documented so well in your book. What role did his mother play in his life?
Yes, she played a very large role, and her name was Juanita Osborne. And she was 16 years old when Burl was born, her first child. Her husband was a coal miner, and it was a very difficult life. She was very poor in this tiny coal town, Jenkins, Kentucky, and she was very close to him his whole life. From the time he was a little boy, she took very good care of him and wanted great things for him, knew when he was a young boy that he was very smart and that he would go places given the opportunity. Much later, when he was 28 years old, he had this terrible need for a new kidney, for a kidney replacement. And his mother agreed, well, not just agreed, but wanted to be the donor of the live kidney for Burl at a time when very few kidney transplants were done. He was only the 130th person in the world, we think, to have a kidney transplant. And she insisted that she be the donor. Even though there was a brother of Burl's that could have donated a kidney, she wanted to be, she said, I gave him life once, I want to give him life again. And Betty, Burl's widow, told me that the saddest time she ever saw Burl was when Juanita died. He was that close with her.
Given these extreme medical conditions that he faced, I sense a theme in your biography. And part of that theme would be risk-taking. As many people have said, very successful people are not immune to taking risks. How would you describe the role that risk-taking played in his life?
I think it was a very big part of his life. I think probably because he learned at such a young age, at the age of 12, his doctor told him that he probably would not live beyond his teenage years, and that he probably would go blind at any time, and that he should stay in bed until he died. And I think he was so determined that that not be the case, that he live life to the fullest, that he did all sorts of things. One risk he took was spending every penny he had and then some to buy a Corvette when he turned 18, I think it was. He couldn't afford a Corvette, but he bought it because he didn't know how long he would live. After he got his first kidney transplant, the doctors told him to stay off the ski slopes. He was living in Denver shortly after he got the transplant. And they said, do not ski. You're very likely to break a bone if you fall because your bones are so brittle from all the steroids you've been taking. Well, the first thing he did was go out and ski the black slopes on Vail and paid no attention to what the doctor said. And the reason he was taking these risks is he thought, I could die at any moment. And he really thought that his whole life. He thought when he took the gamble to go and work at the Dallas Morning News, I think he knew it was a risk. He had a very secure, great job with the AP in New York. But instead of just being content with that job, he thought, I'm going to go roll the dice in Dallas. I'd like to be the top man in the business. I'd like to see what this is like. It's a risk, but I'm going to do it. And there were other, well, the transplant itself, the first transplant was also a risk in that I think 6 out of 8 doctors said, do not get a transplant, you'll die. If you don't die in surgery, you're very likely to have the kidney fail after a couple of years. It's not worth doing. He took a risk at that when he made the decision to go ahead with the transplant.
What did he regard as his greatest triumph? And what would you say was his biggest disappointment?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd say that the biggest triumph was when the Dallas Morning News won the newspaper war. It was something he really wanted to do. He was extremely competitive. He wanted to win this battle with the Dallas Times Herald, and he did. And even though I think the victory was bittersweet for him, I think he felt sad even when the Herald closed, he still viewed it as a huge accomplishment. What would be his greatest disappointment? Was that your question?
Yeah, I mean, not just the greatest triumph, but what do you think he would have said his biggest disappointment was?
I'm not sure, but I would guess that after he left the Morning News and after he had worked at the AP as chairman of the AP, Associated Press, I think he really wanted to buy a newspaper with his son and try running a newspaper. And I think the days of making a lot of money in the newspaper business had passed. And I think he felt very disappointed that that didn't happen, that he couldn't run a newspaper that he owned.
Interesting. A lot of people of an older generation in Dallas will remember the Times Herald fondly. What do you think his strategy was primarily in winning the newspaper war? And what did he perceive the strengths of the Times Herald as being?
I think he thought the strengths were the writing of the paper. On one hand, he thought it was not attributed, that there was not enough attribution in the Times Herald, and that it was not maybe straightforward enough and just straight, accurate, simple news. It was much more creative. The writing was excellent. I think he admired that, but he also didn't really approve of it. He, on one hand, appreciated that there was a great deal of talent at the Times Herald, but he still thought he had the better newspaper.
It's no secret, though, that the readers of Dallas benefited enormously from that newspaper war.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I was a reporter on the city desk, general assignments reporter at the Morning News. At the time, I arrived, I think, 6 months after Burl arrived in Dallas. I came. So I was there and lived through that competition. It was incredibly exciting. It was just a great time to be working in the newspaper business. It was, I mean, I've said in the book that it was the last truly great newspaper war in America, and I think that it was.
Jane, in closing, let me ask you this, and thank you so much for agreeing to be part of this interview and for writing the book.
Thank you.
What would you say this man's legacy was?
Well, I think he has two legacies. One, that you can be a journalist and be fair and accurate in your reporting and straight down the middle and still reach the top of the journalism world, which he did. So that's his journalism legacy. By the way, I think he would be horrified now at things, at terms that are in the current vernacular, like fake news and alternative facts and those things. But the other legacy that he has left is the medical legacy. Because he was an early home dialysis user, he did so much to advance not just home dialysis, but medicine in general. And I think he had those double legacy.
Jane, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Michael. I enjoyed it.
You can read my story about Jane Wolfe's new book and see photographs at dallasnews.com. If you want to hear more of our special audio reports, just follow the Dallas Morning News wherever you get your podcasts. You'll find links to all of our shows, along with a special membership offer just for listeners, at dallasnews.com/listen. For the news, I'm Michael Granberry. Thanks for listening.